Today's shiur is dedicated for schus for Fu Shlema for Shalom and Bracha. Today's shiur is Masechet Nedarim, Daf Lamed Gimel, and we will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis at the bottom of the Amud at the Mishnah, the new parak. Teaches us the Mishnah, Ein Be'muda Hanama Chaveroi, Lamuda Hamene Machel, the difference where somebody expressed a nether where he won't benefit from somebody else versus where he said that he won't have any food related hanoah benefit from that person is Ella Drisus Haregel. The difference is, can you walk in to that person's property? If your nether was about food, then you would be allowed to walk into that person's property. But if you would be also in hanoah, then you would not be allowed to walk into that person's property. And the other difference, says the Mishnah, is kelim she'nosim b'meichel nefesh, the utensils that are not used for eichel nefesh. So if your nether was regarding any benefit, so you can't even use those type of utensils. But if the benefit was only food related, so these utensils that don't have any food relations would not be usher. So the way the Rishonim explained Drasus Regel means that you can't even walk into his property. But it's interesting, if you look in the Mefarish on the side, the Mefarish says that when may you now walk into that person's property? You may not walk into that person's property if you want to take a shortcut. So if you want to take a shortcut, you're benefiting from his property, which you may not do. And in fact, the Bach says that if by walking into his property, you're not going to have a shortcut, you're not going to gain, then the halacha is you can walk into his property. The Shach disagrees. And the Shach says that when the Mefarish says here that you're not allowed to walk into his property to shorten your way, it doesn't mean specifically that situation. He says under no circumstances may you walk into his property. And Tosfos goes on to say that even in a case where people don't care if you walk into their property, so maybe if people don't care if you walk into their property, it should not be considered that you're having benefit from going into this property. Tells us Tosfos that that's still considered having benefit, even though it's a situation where people don't care. On the other hand, I saw the Paiskim discuss a situation where somebody owns a home, and in front of his home, there's a bus stop. And he has a gate around his home, a stone gate. And people, while they're waiting for the bus, sit on that gate. And what he put up a sign that people are not allowed to sit on it. And not only that, he put up on that fence different types of barriers to prevent people from sitting on that fence. And the Poskim discuss that, is that the appropriate behavior to live? The Sefer Cheshukei Chamed says that this is considered a situation where technically he's allowed to do what he did. It's his property, and he has the right to say who should or shouldn't sit on his property. But as much as he has a right to make that determination who may or may not sit on his property, it's not an appropriate behavior. And what he basically explains is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us opportunities to be able to do good things for other people. And instead of using that opportunity to help people, and people are waiting for the bus and it's hard to stand and wait, he does just the opposite. He makes it complicated for them to be able to sit there. That's not the appropriate behavior. Says the Mishnah further, Amuda Machel Mechaveroi. If somebody made a nether that he won't have any food benefit from his other person, Lo Yeshirenu, he may not lend him. Nafa is a sifter, Vekavra, different types of filters, Vrichayim are grinders, Vatana and an oven, because all of these are different things that are used to help prepare food. And since it's used to premier food, one may not lend it if he made this neder. A mashloi, he may lend to him chaluk with tabas, a garment, a ring, a talis, and zomim, and earrings. And the Gemara is going to explain in Mitzvashem why we would think that he should not be allowed to lend these types of material that the Mishnah should explain. So the Ran and the Rosh explain that why did the Mishnah have to list all these various different type of kalim? Because we would think that only utensils that are actually used for food preparation, a pot, a pan, a dish, but something which is not used for the actual food preparation, maybe should not be usur. Teaches us the Mishnah that even things that are not specifically used for food preparation, still you may not benefit from them. They're also considered as if you included in the nether. And of course, the Tosfos Yontov therefore asks, so what about the oven? The oven is used for actual food preparation, so why did the Mishnah have to mention the oven? So the Tosfos Yontov answers, we're talking about the type of an oven like our ovens. Usually, in our ovens, the halacha is that you don't put the actual food on the oven. You put it in a pan, you put it in a pot. So since you're not actually putting it on the oven itself, therefore I would think that it's included, therefore I would say that it's not included in the Meichel. Teaches us the Mishnah that it's still considered a Meichel type of Hanor, even if it's not, it's still considered a Meichel type of Hanor when you, an oven is still considered a Meichel type of oven. It begins the Gemara, Mantana. Who is the Tana of our Mishnah that says that even this slight type of benefit is prohibited when you make a neder? Amar of Ada Bar Hava Rebelezahi. We are going to have a machloikish. There's a concept which we find often in Shas called vitor. When somebody buys something from someone else, it's very common that the merchant adds a little extra above what I bought. And the question is, that is that considered that extra that the merchant throws in, if the buyer, and going back to what we discussed in our previous year, the buyer under many circumstances, we explained, is allowed to purchase from the seller. We gave different examples when the type of merchandise, but let's say it's the type of merchandise that the seller doesn't easily sell. So we said that the buyer is allowed to buy from such a seller because the seller is not really benefiting, because the buyer is not really benefiting because the buyer has bought something that there are not many customers for and there's plenty of merchandise. So now the question is, if the buyer is allowed to receive from the seller under such circumstances, that little extra that's given the vitor. The Tani Reb Elazar, I mean Reb Elazar's opinion is that filu vitor, even that little amount, which typically people don't really pay much attention to, is asur, but mudar hanor. And therefore, our Mishnah also, which says that you can't even get the most minimal benefit, which as the example would be that somebody just walking through his property, which people, we're talking about a property where people really don't normally care if you walk through their property, but it's considered a benefit, albeit a minimal benefit. The halacha is that vitur is also in Bedrisus Regal. So the Ran asks that the Gemara Masechta Baba Basra, Dav Nun Zayin Amud Beis, teaches us that shutfim don't care. That seems to be, says the Ran, that only people who are partners, so they'll allow one person to walk into their property, the other partner to walk into their property. It seems that if it isn't that case, people do care. So why is our Mishnah, asked the Ran, saying that vitur is something that people don't care about, and just a question, is it mutabano or osbano? It seems that everybody cares about vitur, because only partners, the Gemara says, may go into each other's property. So the Ran quotes the Ramban, that the Ramban says that when the Gemara over there says the partners may go into each other's property, it's speaking specifically about a case that they're not just going to go into the other person's property, they're actually going to remain there. That's where the Gemara Masechta Baba Basra differentiates between partners and other people. But walking in and not staying there, nobody cares. And yet he says that Vitor is also Bahana. Tosfos also differentiates between the Tosfos answering, differentiates between the summer and the winter. In the summer, where there are no plants growing there, that's when people normally don't care. That's where people don't care. In the winter, people do care, and the Masechta Baba Basra Gemara is teaching us that even though in the winter when there are plants growing, people care, in the Gemara is teaching us that for partners, they don't even care. They don't even care in the winter. The Tori Evan quotes a Gemara in Masechta Megillah, in Masechta Avodah Zarah, that says that it's forbidden to walk under an Asherah tree. An Asherah tree is a tree which was used for Avodah Zarah and is also Ba'anah. So therefore, walking under such a tree means that you're benefiting from Avodah Zarah. But asks the Tori Evan, according to the opinion of the Rabbonin, that say Vitor is not considered anything of significance, so just passing under the tree is not considered really that I'm benefiting, and therefore the halacha ought to be that I should be allowed to walk under such a tree. So the Tori Evan says that when we speak about Avodah Zarah, the halacha is much more strict by Avodah Zarah than it is regarding other subjects. And therefore, the halacha is that by Avodah Zarah you can't even pass under such a tree. The Rebbe Kivega differentiates between a nether which prohibits you having property for somebody else's property and a nether prohibiting nor from the person himself. He says that if somebody said that he's not going to have benefit from somebody else's property, then the Chachamim would agree with Rebbe Lezer that such a person may not walk into that person's property, even though it's a minimal hanor. The Chachamim, who are being lenient in our sugya about Vitor, says Rebbe Kiva Eger, is only when somebody made a nether that he won't have hanor from the person. Since the nether is from the person, so from the person, that's not included, that, say, the Chachamim are not included in the hanor. But says Rebbe Kiva Eger, Avodah Zarah is comparable to a case where I prohibited myself from having hanor from that person's property. Since it's comparable to prohibiting myself from having hanor from that person's property, that therefore the halacha is that that's considered also. Furthermore, the Ran says that, as we explained, that adding an extra food, a little extra past what I bought, is the example of Vitor. So the Achroinim ask that why would the Chacham hold that that's mutter? When I buy something from the person, so the transaction is completed when I pay and he gives me what we contracted to give. Now, when you give me extra, that means you're giving me more than what I agree. You're giving me more than what I paid for. Why would the Chachamim hold that that's usur? So the Chiddush Yeburim explained that when merchants typically add a little more than what was bought, it's not to be understood, explains the Chiddush Yeburim, that there's a sale for the amount that was contracted, and this is above and beyond. And therefore, how could I, who may not have hanor from you, get that extra? It all becomes part of the what was included in the sale. And as I saw the Achroinim explain, that it's considered, since that's the typical way that how things are sold, it's not considered that I benefited from the person. Because that is typically what is included in the sale. And since it's included and the sale, therefore, it's mutter. There is also a machloikis, a rishonim, that the machlokes here, the Rebbe Elazar holds vitur is osur, is that an issa the raisa, or is it a issa the rabbanon? The Ramban and Rashba seem to say that it's only an, even Rebbe Elazar will agree that it's only an issa the rabbanon. The Rambam's opinion, says the Karen Oira, is that according to Rebbe Elazar, vitur is osur the raisa. We learned in the Mishnah, Hamuda Machma Chaveroi, if somebody made a nether that I won't have a food-related benefit from somebody else, Lo Yishlenu, he can't borrow from him all the various types of utensils that were identified in the Mishnah. Ask the Gemara, V'hamin Machl Nader, the nether was from food. How did all of these utensils get included in the nether? Answers the Gemara, Amar Hashim ben Lakish, V'amar Hanos Machel Chalai. Since he added the word Hano, so that includes even utensils that prepare food, says the Gemara. Ask the Gemara, who says that just because he said Anos Machil Cholai are food related vessels included? Ema, maybe what it means was Shlayila Schitin, that he shouldn't chew food, which was used to put on top of a wound. And in that case, it will be included because I'm benefiting from the actual food. And therefore, since he's, that's the way the Rosh explains. When I said anos machilcha, I mean food. It means any type of application of food. And this is included in an application of food. And that's why it's usur. But just from the vessels that are used to prepare food, who says that that's included? So ask the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham says that we know that this is considered shloi keder chano. It's not a normal type of having benefit. And the halacha is that when somebody makes a nether, asks Rabbi Akiva Eiger, the nether is only if you're going to benefit in the normal fashion of benefit. But if this is shloi keder, why is this considered that I violated my nether? So the Shalmei Dorim quotes the Sefer Yad Shol that says that this halacha that we often speak about shloi kederech, if you don't do something in a normal fashion, it's not considered as if you had the right hanah, is only by eating. By eating, there's a concept when you're not allowed to eat something between if you're eating it with derech achila, in the normal way it's eaten, or shloi kederech achila. But when it comes to hanah, there is no difference between derech hanah or shloi kederech hanah. Rav Shmuel Ravzovsky Zatzal goes back to something that we discussed a moment ago. He says there's a difference how the nether was expressed. If the nether was expressed that I'm not going to have benefit from nichsei chaveroi, so when the nether was expressed that I'm not going to have benefit from nichsei chaveroi, then there's a difference, suggests Rav Shmuel Ravzovsky Zatzal, between if it's derech hanah or shloi kederech hanah. But says Rav Shmuel Ravzovsky that if the nether was expressed that I'm not allowed to have hanah from the other person, from the goof, from that other person, there the halacha does not differentiate. The halacha does not differentiate if it's derech hanah or shloi kederech hanah. And even if it's shloi kederech hanah, the halacha would be that I'm not allowed to benefit from that person. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava. So again, the Gemara's question is that when somebody verbalized the nether by saying Hanos Machil Chalai, maybe all it coming to include, as we just said, where somebody took food to put on a wound, but not that I can't have benefit from his vessels that could prepare food. Amar Rava. The Mishnah speaking about a case, he said explicitly that anything that could cause me to have food related hana will be usur. And the way the Rashba says that when somebody makes this type of nether, what it means to include is both the case that we just learned, that you wouldn't be allowed to chew wheat and put it on your wound, and it would also include any food-related anything that's related to food preparation. There are Rishonim that disagree, and they suggest that when somebody articulated his neder this way, it only includes food-related vessels, but not chewing food and putting on your makom. Amar Papa. So now Rapapa explains what is included when somebody made a neder saying Hano Hamivil de Machel, Lavi Peris Chamar, Sak Lavi by Peris. It would include, what about a bag to bring the food? Chamar Lavi La Peris, you're not a donkey that carries the fruit. Vafilat Sana Ba'alma, just a basket, Hano Hamivil de Machel. The halacha is that all of these considered food related Hano, because they could all be related to food, which opens up an interesting question. The Truma Sadeshin discusses that we know that the halach is that when one gives shalachmanis, he's supposed to give food. The question is something which is food-related, which our Gemara just taught us, that food-related objects, utensils, are also included in the category of food, could somebody be yotze the mitzvah of mishalach manas with that? So he says that based on the way the Rambam says the halacha, the Rambam in Hilchos Megillah, Perek Beis, Halacha Tazayin, says, Chayiv loseis matanas lavyonim, vein pachas mishnei aniyim, shnoisu kalecha matana achas, oy maos amina tavshilim amina oichlim, shnei matanas lavyonim. So it says that my Tanus Lavyoinim, the Rambam is teaching us that you don't have to give specifically food. But when Rambam in the previous halacha discusses Mishloich Manus, says Chayiv Adam Lishloich Lechaveri Shtei Manus Bas or Shnei Minei Tavshul or Shnei Minei Oichlim. So Rambam very clearly describes the halacha of Shloich Manus different than the halacha Matanus Lavyoinim. And by Matanus Lavyoinim, the Rambam says you don't have to necessarily give food. But when he speaks about Shalach Manos, he speaks about food. So it seems from there that even though our Gemara has just taught us that food-related food is also considered food, that would not be sufficient regarding Shalach Manos. And the Hilchos Ketanis, however, disagrees. Based on our Gemara that said the food-related vessels are also considered food, says the Hilchos Ketanis that you could use food-related objects to be yotze shalach manos. However, the Paiskim disagree, and the Paiskim all say that you have to give actual food. And the Mishnah Brura says that you have to give dafka minei macholim. You have to give food v'loy begodim v'loy b'shar dvarim. You're not allowed to give anything else. I did see that there were Gedolei Yisrael, the Shas Tshuvas Divrei Yisrael, discusses if a Talmud Chochem could send Chedushei Torah for Shalach Manos. And he wants to suggest that maybe an argument can be made that you could send Divrei Torah for Shalach Manos because to a Talmud Chochem, Divrei Torah are sweeter and more pleasant than any food. And maybe therefore they could be used to fulfill Shalach Manos. The Rishonim try to understand, as Rapapa is telling us, that anything that's really our Mishnah is telling us, that anything that's food-related is included in the nether, why did Rapapa have to mention the donkey that carries it, or etc.? So the Ran and Rosh explained that although the food-related kalim that I mentioned in the Mishnah don't make the food edible, you use a sifter, but the actual food is on them. But to bring food on top of a donkey or whatever is even further removed. And since it's even further removed, there could be an argument made that that isn't food-related. Or, as the Tosfos Rid says, a beautiful pshat, enough of a kavra don't make the food 100% related, ready to be eaten. But they are food-related kalim. Donkeys are not used specifically for food. So we would say that maybe Rapop is teaching us that maybe we would suggest that only something which actually is specifically food related, but something which is not specifically food related, maybe should not be considered included in the nether. Teaches us the Mishnah that they are included, teaches us Rapop that they're included in the nether. Says the Gemara, by Rapapa, sus lirchavalov, somebody who made this nether, what about a horse just to ride? Tabas lirisbay, or a ring to show off that the person wears an expensive ring. Mahu, mifsuk umeza ba'ara, to go through somebody else's field. Mai, will that be considered a food-related nether? Toshma, the Mishnah said that if you made a food-related nether, you could lend them all these various things. Says the Gemara Hechidami, exactly what is the case? If they weren't lent to make the person look like a important person that has this, they have these beautiful garments, why would it be Aser? Elav, that he borrowed them to look distinguished, and therefore he'll look distinguished. When he'll come, wherever he comes to eat, he'll be served in a nicer manner and be served a nicer portion. Still, the Mishnah says, Mashiloi, it's mutter. That is not considered, says the Gemara, food related. And that would be an answer to our Papa's question. Says the Gemara, Loi, our Mishnah teaching us specifically in the case, Loi Liris, that he isn't borrowing it to look that way. He's borrowing it because he needs these garments. So why did the Mishnah have to teach it to us? Because we learned previously in the Mishnah, that the various vessels that we discussed may not be lent. So Tana Sefer, what may be lent? But if indeed it's being lent for a purpose that it's going to make me look better, and because I look better, I'm going to get a better portion, a nicer portion, that very much is possible. That very much is possible to would be Aser. And the same thing, what's the issue of going through the property? What's the food related? Because I'm going to be able to get to the meal quicker. And that's why anything that's food related would be muftar. So here we're learning about people do things to look better. And the question that I saw the Sefer Chashukei Chema discusses, a very interesting discussion. That person was a wealthy person, and unfortunately his financial situation has changed. And now, every year he used to make a Purim Suda, and at his Purim Suda he would serve very expensive wine. He can't afford that expensive wine anymore. So what he wants to do now, discusses the Chashukei Chema, is take bottles in which expensive wine is stored, take bottles with the label of an expensive wine, and fill up the bottles, those empty bottles with those nice label, with the expensive label, with plain wine. So he discusses, is this considered a situation of Geneva's Das? He says that on first glance, the Shulchan Aruch Choshen Mishpat, Simon Reish Chav Ches Sivav, says, Osalach Lignois Das Abrius Bedvarim. You're not allowed to fool people. Shemarish Oysa Beshviloi, it looks like I'm doing something on your behalf, and I'm not. Kate said, Loyev Yisar Bechaverish Yisurimai. I shouldn't insist to my friend that he should come eat by me, and I know he can't come. And different things, that example would be inviting somebody to a party that you know he can't come. So at first glance, this is also Gnevus Das. The person who comes to my home and sees this expensive wine that I'm serving him thinks that I'm giving him expensive wine when it really isn't. But he says that it could be that Gnevus Das is only in a case where the person who's doing the Geneva's Das has something to gain. In other words, I serve you what you think is expensive wine, and by I serving you that expensive wine, then you're going to feel very indebted to me. But just because you send me you come to my house and I serve you expensive wine does not mean that I believe that you're going to be indebted to me. It's Purim. People come into the house. So that, therefore, he suggests it wouldn't be considered Geneva Stas. But he says there's an entirely different issue that needs to be discussed in this circumstance. And he says the other issue that needs to be discussed in this case is Geneva of the company who you're putting into the bottles that have their wine, that's supposedly their wine, you're putting in cheaper wine. So he explains that there are two issues by doing this. One issue by doing this is that it's very possible that the cheaper wine does not taste as good as the more expensive wine. And since the cheaper wine does not taste as good as the more expensive wine, the company who sells that expensive wine is going to be financially hurt. People are going to start saying, this is not such great wine that I should be spending money for it. And then he says, even if people don't necessarily know the difference, and people are not going to recognize that how could this wine, which doesn't taste so great, be expensive wine, even if people don't recognize that it's such, are going to say that it's such expensive wine, the company who sells the expensive wine does not want their bottles that are supposed to have their wine in it to be used for other purposes. So, of course, if you took off the label, it wouldn't be an issue. And, in fact, the Paiskim say there's a question if you would have to be toivel that bottle, because now you're making it into a vessel that you're using all the time, not just something you're going to throw out. But if you're leaving the label on it, the company that has, and you're putting in another type of wine in it, does not accept that, and therefore that would why it's usur. Continues the Mishnah. The kol davar she'ein bo yechol nefesh, anything that are not used for davar nefesh, but makom shemaskirin kiyotz ben, in a place where that people rent these type of vessels, usur, I can't have anah, because even though these Kalim have no connection to food, since they're rented, they're sold for money, so the person that now gets it for free is going to be able to use that money that he would have normally used for food, normally used to pay for this vessel, going to use it for food, and that's why it's considered that I have a food-related hanal. Mechlal, says the Gemara, the Reisha, that said all those various kalim are osur, would be even in a case that apish emaskirim, even though they're not rented, and therefore they're not sold or rented, they're not, so therefore by you benefiting from those kalim, it's not really considered a very serious benefit, it's still osur. Ask the Gemara, man Tana, who's the Tana that holds this opinion? Says the Gemara, again, as we've been learning throughout our shir, Amr of Adabar Ahava, Rabbi Lezer, it represents the opinion of Rabbi Lezer that says Vitor is Osir, that you not even have minimal benefit. So Taisu says, we began our shir today by explaining that our Mishnah follows the opinion of Rabbi Lezer. Why did it need to be repeated? So Taisu answers that the real point is from our Mishnah, where our Mishnah teaches us that even a keli, which is not specifically food related, and people don't really care about it, teaches our Mishnah is the primary place from where we learn Vitor is Osur. Andrisus Aregel, people are more strict that they don't want other people walking through their property. So the Rajbis, the Teretz of Taisus really is saying that this is a better example of Vitor. The Rajba gives a different Teretz. There's different types of Nedarim. And what the Mishnah is trying to teach us, that Rabbi Lezer, who's strict about Vitor, is strict both when your Neder is regarding Hanor, and that's why if I made a Neder that I'm not allowed to have Hanor from somebody else, Drisus Aregel, I may not walk through his property. And our Mishnah is referring to a case where I made a neder that I'm not allowed to have Hanos Michael. And again, Rabbi Eliezer teaches us that Vitu is also. Says the Mishnah, if somebody said that the person may not have benefit from me, the loch is shekel shikloi. I could pay the machzis a shekel on his behalf. Pereyas chayvai. All of this will be explained in the Gemara. I could pay his debts on his behalf. Or machzalei vedasai, and I could return something. I could return something that he lost. The Shita says that when the Mishnah says that I could return something that he lost, it means that I happen to have found, and the Gemara is going to explain this more, I found something that belonged to him, so I'm allowed to return it to him. But I may not, says the Shita, go out of my way, I may not go out of my way to look for something that this person lost. Makom Shnaitlan Eschar, says the Mishnah, in a place where somebody who does a Shavas Aveda gets paid for it. So now we have, now I can't benefit getting that reward. Tipla no lahegdish, their halacha is that that value, that amount should be given to Hegdish. And as Rashi Masechta Ksubis explains our Mishnah, we had this sugya recently in Masechta Ksubis as well, that with the Mishnah speaking about a case where both of these individuals made it in the Darim that they can't benefit from each other. So therefore, the commissioner is telling us that I can return his lost object, but I cannot take from him the reward that he's paid. But the question that the Ritva asks on the, and he asked the Masechtas Ksubos, why is that considered having benefit? If somebody gets paid for work done, that's not called having benefit. That's called paying me for my services. Why is that also? So the Rambam in the Pirish Mishnayis says that when somebody returns a lost object to somebody else, he's following what the halacha says. There's a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, and one is not allowed to get paid for Hashavas Aveda. And therefore, the halacha is, I'm not really entitled to get paid. And that's why the Mishnah says the money should go to Hegdish. Another teretz that the Shita quotes to Rebbe Yoina, that the only time I'm allowed to get paid for doing a mitzvah is schar b'teila, that I could have been doing my regular job in that time. But returning something is not really a schar b'teila. It doesn't take much time and much effort. So it must be whatever I'm getting paid is only getting paid for, I'm only getting paid for a reward which is not due to me. Since it's not due to me, that's why I can't get paid. The Gemara in Masechet Beyah, Daf Tes Vav Amud Beis, teaches us, the Pasuk says regarding Yom Tovim, Ki chedves Hashem hi ma'oschem. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishnah Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. B'ni, levu alai, b'kitcha b'kitchas hayoyim. Borrow money that you should have to be able to make yontif. V'aminu bi v'nipureya. You could be sure that I will reward you and pay you back. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do it this way? That first we borrow, buy what we need for Shabbos and Yontif, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays us back. Why doesn't he just give us the money up front? So the Sefer Or Kaddish says there was once a tzaddik who needed money for Shabbos, and he went and borrowed money, went to ask a wealthy person to lend him some money. The wealthy person did not want to lend him the money, and he asked him this question. The wealthy person asked the tzaddik, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to have money for Shabbos, why didn't he just give it to you? Why do you have to borrow and be confident that you'll get the money? So he explained that every person, indeed, as much as he should be confident that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give him what he needs, but maybe that person did an Aveira. And if somebody does an Aveira, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a neder that you may not have benefit from me. Once a Kadosh Baruch Hu makes a nether, you cannot benefit from me. A Kadosh Baruch Hu can't give back, can't give that person whatever he needs for Shabbos or Yontif. But our Mishnah just taught us that if you borrow money and somebody else pays back that money, even if I'm not allowed to have enough from that person, he can pay back my loans. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, maybe this individual is not deserving that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should directly give him a gift. But Mishnah says that everybody's deserving that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should pay off their chayvis, and that their debts. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu does it that this way. That the Baal Shem takes a similar approach. He says that somebody who doesn't have money, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should make a nes, that he should have money out of nowhere, that not everybody is deserving. But our Mishnah just taught us, says the Baal Shem, that paying off someone else's debts is something that's very expected. Since that's something which is very expected, so even if I'm not, even if somebody is not deserving that a Kadosh Baruch Hu should give him an outright gift, he is deserving, that everybody is deserving, even people who are osma, no one from the other, are deserving that a Kadosh Baruch Hu should pay off the debts. Just like in our Mishnah, so is the case. Alma, so we see from our Mishnah, the fact that even though they also know from one from the other, he could pay off his debt. Alma vrucha riba alma. Paying off debts is just taking off the pressure from the person who owes the money, and that is mutter v'shari, even though they have this nether. Says the Gemara, man tana, who is the tana that holds that this is just considered a vruchi ariba alma, and therefore he could pay off the debts? Amar v'ayishia zu derechana. We had a Mishnah, Masechta Ksubis. The Mishnah, Masechta Ksubis, speaks about a case where a husband went overseas without leaving his wife any means of support. So somebody went and supported that wife. And now the husband comes back. Can this person go to the person, to the benefactor who was taking care of his wife, to get back what was owed to him? And the opinion of Charan was that he can't, because I never asked you to pay off, to support my wife. The Bnei Kohanim Gedolim disagree. It's only Mavriach Ari. It's only considered that, it's not considered that I have to pay it off. The Bnei Kohanim Gedolim say you can. So we see that according to Charan, that if I pay off something, if I pay your wife, if I support your wife, I don't have a claim. Therefore, here too, I could pay off, even though he's also from a knob, I may. But the question, of course, the Rishonim ask, if somebody owes money and he has to pay it off, and I go and I pay it on his behalf, why is that not considered that I was mahanahim, that he benefited from me? So the Tosfos Rosh says that it's only considered a grumma. And since it's considered a grumma, that's why it's not considered that he had anor from me. The Ritva, in Masech Tiksubas, gives another tirutz. He says, just because I owe money, unfortunately we know that just because people owe money doesn't mean that they pay what they owe. So this loiva could claim, I would have never paid. Since the Gemara says that the loiva could claim that I would have never pay it, I would have never paid him. That's why here too, that I could say I wouldn't have paid. You didn't do me a favor. So our Mishnah that says that you could pay it off is following the opinion of Chanan. Rav Afil Divrikol, Gabamuda no, regarding a case where I made a nether that you can't have a no from me, the Yav, we're speaking here by the case, Amnash Lefroya, that the Malva lent money to the Loiva that on the condition that that he doesn't have to pay it off. In that case, it's not considered that he benefited him because he wouldn't have had to pay off that loan anyway. Therefore, since it's not considered that I benefited for him, that I wouldn't have had to pay anyway, that's why it's not considered he did a favor for me. That means, what does this mean? So the Rashba says that it means that the loiva and the malva made up up front, that the malva will not pressure him for the money. The Miri explains what happened here was that the Malva wanted to give tzedakah to the Loiva. But the Loiva didn't want to take tzedakah. And what the Malva said to the Loiva was that you'll pay me whenever you want. And if you won't pay me, it doesn't make a difference if you won't pay me. So that's the type of debt that if I'm paying off, I'm not really benefiting him. So as we mentioned, where do we find the opinion of Chanon? The Tanan, the Mishnah Masechta Ksubos, Daf Kuf Zayin Amud Beis teaches us, Misha Alach L'Medina Sayam, a husband who went overseas, did not leave his wife any means of support, V'amar Echad Pinus Ishtei, and somebody is supporting the wife, and now, when the husband comes back, the man goes to the husband to pay off what he laid out. Chana Amun, even Ma'asav, the person who laid out the money lost his money, because he didn't promise that he's going to pay back this person. And therefore, it's not considered that he did anything on behalf, that he did anything. And therefore, it's only considered menias hefsid. It's not considered that act of hanah. It only separated him from losing money. The Bnei Chacham disagree, and they say that you just swear how much you spent, the Yitl, you take the money. Because what the husband benefited, that is considered a hanah. Amar Rav Yosef HaKnos, Kedivrayim, Rav Yosef HaKnos agree with the Chachamim that the husband has to pay back this debt. Amar Rav Yochanan Zakkai, Yofa Amachanim, the Chanan disagrees and says you don't have to pay off that debt. Shenich Moisav HaKarna Tzvi. The person who gave the money to the wife put his money, he put himself at risk. And since, according to Chanan, the person who laid out the money doesn't have a claim back to the husband, so therefore, the person who made a neder to pay or that he won't benefit can pay off this debt, because it's not considered as if he's giving him a hanah, because he wouldn't have had to pay it off anyway. Rashi and Tosfos have a machlokes. Rashi and Tosfos have a machlokes. If when this person laid out the money for this woman, he said explicitly that I'm lending you the money on behalf that your husband will pay me back, will Chanan still say that the husband doesn't have to pay him back? Or if, since it was expressly said that way, the halach is that even Chanan would agree that the husband has to pay it back. The Gemara says that the person who laid out the money is considered hiniach ma'osav al keren tzvi. So there are many explanations why is this called hiniach ma'osav al keren tzvi. The Tosfos Yontif explains that we know that tzvi, the deer, runs very quickly. Putting money on the head of the deer is something that you're very likely to lose. Similarly, Tosfos Yontif says the money that's on the head of a tzvi is likely to fall in a place that you won't be able to find it. The Tosfos Yisrael explains that a deer puts its horns to the back of its head as it runs. And since it's putting back on the back of its head, that he thinks that you'll be able to see the money, but it's easily going to be lost that way. Another pshat that the Mefarshim explain is when you put money on the Keren HaTzvi, you may find it and you may not find it. What the Gemara means to say is that this person who laid out the money for the woman may indeed get back the money and may not get back the money. It's a suffix.